حلم يهيم واللحظة على أعدائه المعين. Dear running a little bit and late, so we have to move forward quickly. There are two types of wajibat within the prayers. Rukniya, that means the pillar wajibs, and Gair Rukniya, the non-pillar wajibs. This is very, very important for us to remember that within the prayers itself, the wajibat are classified into two kinds, Rukniya and Gair Rukniya. And the difference will appear from this description. In the Rukniya wajib, that means the pillar wajibs, wajib-e rukni, if you sahwan, that means unintentional negligence of any of the Rukniya wajib, any of the pillar wajib, if you have unintentional negligence, your prayer is batil. If you have nisyan, that means negligence because of forgetfulness, you forgot. So you didn't do the wajib. You missed it because you forgot it. This is called nisyan. So if you have nisyan, that means you forget to perform that wajib, which is classified as a pillar wajib. Still your prayer is batil. Or the amd means intentional negligence. You intentionally leave a wajib, which is classified as a pillar wajib, wajib-e rukni. In all these cases, your prayer is batil. So we have to know which of the wajibat are pillar wajibs and which are the wajibat which are non-pillar wajibs. The pillar wajibs are very important because whether you intentionally ignore it or you unintentionally ignore it or you forget it, in all the cases your prayer is batil and you don't need to complete your prayer because the prayer is gone. Just start the prayer from scratch. Let's suppose I forget to do the ruku. Ruku is a pillar wajib. We are coming to the whole list in the next slide. So if I forgot to do the ruku, then I don't need to complete my whole prayers and wait till the end of the prayers and then start it again. As soon as you forget the ruku and you don't do it, basically your prayers is gone. So now you have to start your prayers again. So and the Gair Rukniya wajibs, the non-pillar wajibs, are different from the pillar because if you have sahv, that means unintentional negligence, or you have nisyan, that means negligence due to forgetfulness, you forgot to do it, these two things do not cause the prayers to become batil. Your prayers are still okay because you didn't do it intentionally, you just forgot, or unintentional negligence. But only in the case of amd, that means intentional negligence of the non-pillar wajibs, will make your prayers to be batil. Intentionally, you cannot do that. Unintentionally, it's not going to harm your prayers. Harm in the sense, it's not going to make your prayers batil. Or by forgetting a wajib, it's not going to make your prayers batil.
The difference is not clear between sahab and nisyan.
Sahab means unintentionally leaving a wajib, and nisyan means you forgot to do it. Unintentional means unintentional is something which is opposite to intentional and amd. Sometimes you amd and intentionally you ignore a wajib. Sometimes it's not intentional, but you just didn't do it. You happen to leave that wajib. So, whereas in the case of nisyan, you forgot to perform the wajib. If you remembered, you would not have done it. But if you just forgot it, so that's the reason you didn't do that.
Is there anything to do with age for nisyan?
Age?
I mean, old age and nisyan, is there anything to do with nisyan with that? Forgetfulness, when you say?
No, I don't think it's related to the age factor. Even the youth can have nisyan also. we have the Vajibat. And there we, I have written the feet in front of certain Vajibs, which are the pillar Vajibs, Vajib Rukni. I have written the feet, and then I have written the NP, which means the non-pillar Vajibs, Vajibat Gair Rukniya. So these are the 11 Vajibs of the prayers. Salat has 11 Vajibat. 5 of the Vajibs are pillar Vajibs, and rest of the 6 Vajibat are non-pillar Vajibs of the prayers. What are the pillar Vajibs? Niyat. If you enter into the prayers and you didn't do the Niyat, you just forgot. Well, then you never even started the prayers. There is no need for us to use the word Batil, because Batil is when you started the prayers and the prayers became Batil. You didn't even start the prayers in this case because you didn't do the Niyat. Without Niyat, you don't even enter into the prayers. Qiyam means standing position. The standing position is a pillar wajib in Islam in two cases, two kinds of standings. And one kind of standing is a non-pillar wajib in Islam. What are the, those two kinds of standing which are pillar wajibs? The first one is qiyam and standing in at the time of doing the takbiratul ihram, the first Allahu Akbar that you say. After you do the niyat, you don't have to say the niyat with your tongue or any of the worship in Islam. You just have to have the theme in your mind in such a way that if somebody comes and asks you, hey, what are you doing? You are able to reply back correctly that, well, I'm praying my 2 rakats of Fajr prayers, Ada, within the time, Qurbatan ilallah. If you are able to reply back correctly, that means you have this theme in your mind. You don't have to say it in your, with your tongue. You never have to say the niyat with your tongue. Just have to have it in your mind. So after you made your mind, and now you are saying Allahu Akbar, at the time of saying Allahu Akbar, this qiyam during the takbiratul ihram is wajibir rukni. So you have to be standing. Some people say, well, we cannot stand and pray. Well, the thing is that if you can stand for 10 seconds, if you are able to stand for 10 seconds, it is still wajib on you to stand up straight for 10 seconds after your niyat, say Allahu Akbar, the first takbiratul ihram, and then after 10 seconds when it is beyond your tolerance level, then you can sit down and continue praying. But you have to stand up because you are able to stand. Even if you are able to stand for 10 seconds, you have to do it. So I remember Ayatollah Uthma Araki, Rahmatullah Alayhi, one of our great Maraji, you know, he died at the age of 103, and he used to walk in the street like this. Literally, he used to walk like this. And when in the Madrasa Thaliya, the historic Madrasa of Qom, when he used to come and lead the prayers of Fajr Bayt, you know, I remember he used to slowly, he used to do like this, rising up slowly and slowly, slowly. Slowly, and then finally he straightens his body like this and he says Allahu Akbar, and then he goes back and then he starts the recitation of Fatiha. So you have to have the qiyam and standing position at the time of takbiratul ihram. It is wajibul rukni. Even a person of 103 years of age is doing that. I mean, we find some people just say, well, I cannot stand, so let me pray sitting position. Well, even if you can stand at the time of the takbiratul ihram for 10 seconds, you have to do it. Don't jump into the second ruling that easily. So that's the first category of qiyam, which is wajib rukni. There are 3 kinds of qiyam in the prayers. The 2 kinds of qiyam are wajib rukni. The third one is the non-prayer wajib. So, but I have not repeated the qiyam again because it is the concept itself which is there mentioned, so we will explain it. 2 standings. What is the second standing in qiyam which is pillar wajib? Which is the second one is the qiyam in muttasil bi ruku. The qiyam which is after you have done with reading the surah al-Fatiha and after you are done with reading the next surah. Now before going to ruku, you have to wait for a few seconds. That standing position after reading the second surah, before going to the ruku, you have to wait for a few seconds and then you go to the ruku. That qiyam situation is also wajibir rukni. Some people do like this, Bismillah Rahman, الله كل ما محاد الله الصمد لم يكن لم يولد لم يكن له كفوا احد الله اكبر.
This phrase is batil. Now this guy has to start straight away. He has to start over again. The phrase is gone because you messed up with the qiyam muttasil by ruku. You did not stay in the standing position after reading the second surah for a couple of seconds. You did not. You messed up. This is a pillar wajib. Pillar wajib. If you mess up, even unintentionally, even by forgetfulness, the phrase is gone. So this is the second kind of qiyam, second kind of qiyam in standing, which is wajib. All the rest of the qiyam, like the qiyam during reading of Surah Al-Fatiha, it is wajib, but it's not a pillar wajib. The qiyam during reading the next surah after Fatiha, it is wajib, but it is not a pillar wajib.
Is it clear? Now we have the pillars of Imran, which is another wajib rukni. So if you forget the pillars of Imran, your praise is of course gone. And then the ruku, I just gave the example a few moments ago. If somebody forgets the ruku in any rak'at, basically, and he moves forward and performs the next rak'at, whatever, then the prayer is gone. He has to start over again. He doesn't need to complete the whole prayer because there is no prayer remaining. The prayer is batil, it's a pillar wajib, it's gone.
Likewise, sajda.
Sajda here means two sajdas together. Not one sajda. Two sajdas together constitute a pillar wajib. If you forget one sajda, your prayer is not batil if you unintentionally did that. But if you forget both of the sajdas together, even unintentionally, both of the sajdas are pillar wajib. So if anybody forgets both of the sajdas of any rakat, his prayer is batil because two sajdas together are pillar wajib. Forgetting one sajda doesn't make your prayer batil because you just forgot it. But forgetting two sajdas together makes a pillar wajib, and that's how the prayers become batil. The non-pillar ones are these, qiraat, the recitation of Fatiha in the next surah, zikr, all the phrases that we read, in the Subhana Rabbi al-Azim wa bihamdi, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdi, all different zikr of Allah and remembrance phrases of God. And then we have tashakkul, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. This one is called tashahhud. This is the witnesses plus the salawat. So, and then we have salam, which is also wajib, but it is a non-pillar wajib. The three salams. The first one is mustahab. Assalamu alaikum, you have Nabi wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. That's not even wajib. The second one is also, not wajib. Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillah as-salihin. The third one, assalamu alaikum, is wajib. And that's what we are talking about, the third salam, which is wajib, assalamu alaikum. And it is further sawab to add wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And then the next non-pillar wajib is the tarteeb, the sequence. You cannot disturb the sequence, like we have to do the two sajdas after the ruku. You have to read the next surah after Fatiha. You cannot read. You cannot do the sajdas before the ruku. You cannot do the salam before the tashahhud. Any kind of tarteeb, you have to take care of the whole sequence of the prayers. And then the muwalat means doing the parts of the prayers without a gap. I do the ruku and now I'm standing for 10 minutes here and I don't go into the sajda position. The prayers is gone. If I stand there for 10 minutes after doing ruku intentionally and I don't go into sajda, the prayer is batil. Because 10 minutes is a gap. You are making a gap. So if you make a gap, you are messing up with the condition of muwalat. That means doing things without a gap. So this is also a pillar, not pillar wajib, but you cannot intentionally ignore it. Unintentional negligence is not going to make the prayer batil. And here we come to the Sharaat al-Qabool. The time is short and we have to cover several more slides remaining. Sharaitul Qabool means those are the conditions which are necessary for our prayers getting accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Acceptance of our prayers, which is much, much more important of an issue. The first thing is Iman, faith. Iman is basically the belief in the 12 infallible Imams, in addition to believing in the Tawheed concept, and in addition to believing in the Risalat of Rasulullah. A person is supposed to believe bi kulli ma ja'a bihi ar-Rasul, everything, all the teachings that the Prophet brought, and the most important of his teachings is believe in the 12 infallible Imams. So anybody who believes in the Tawheed, plus he believes in the Risalat, plus he believes in the Walayat and Imamat of the 12 Imams, he is called a Mu'min. And that's the condition number one for acceptance of our prayers. We have this authentic hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where he said, that's from Kafi, volume 1. Anybody who doesn't believe in our walayat, Allah does not accept any of his actions. So not just the prayers, all of our actions are conditional with this condition, that you need to have the Iman in the 12 infallible Imams. And the second condition is Taqwa. That's what we were talking about a while ago, that we have to do, the deadline is the time of prayers. We have to do the Tawbah. If we have sins, we need to do the Tawbah before. Of course, we have to do it immediately after doing the sin, God forbid, but the deadline is the time of prayers. As soon as the time of prayers arrives, we have to do the Tawbah first, because we have to keep your Taqwa alive. You have to be God-wary in your behavior. You have to fear Allah. So the minimum definition of that would be doing all the wajibs and leaving all the harams. Apparently, at least, you know, you should do and take care of all those things. And of course, in the khalwat and the hidden as well. And here is the ayat from the Holy Quran, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَفَّ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah only accepts from the muttaqeen. So only the actions of muttaqeen, pious people, are the ones which are accepted by Allah. That's the ayat of Quran, Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 27. Allah, you know, you remember the story in the time of Imam Khalid al-Salam, when the guy was stealing, you know, and he stole, basically, he stole four breads, and after stealing the four breads, on his way, Imam Sadiq saw him stealing four breads from the shop. And after that, he went on his way, and he gave those breads on his way. He gave the breads to the poor people there on the street as a charity. Halwai ki dukaan pe dada ji ka fatiha. Churaye hue maal se utha ke sadqa de rahe. So basically, Imam Sadiq al-Salam saw him doing all this, stealing the four breads, and then on his way, he was giving the same four stolen breads to the poor person. Now, Imam Sadiq al-Salam is a ma'soom. He is not like us. We can ignore a lot of sins of people, because we want to maintain our personal relationship good with the people. Whether our relationship, some people unfortunately are like this, you know, at the cost of messing up their relation with Ahlul Bayt, they are ready to compromise and not even do any Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar to people, because they want to keep their good relation with the people. Masoom is never like this. He will never ever let any haram go without being noticed. He will always take a notice of every haram committed in front of his eyes. He is a masoom. He doesn't care what the people think. He cares what Allah thinks. He holds himself accountable to Allah. Imam Sadiq cannot let it go. Imam objected on him and said, you know, objected on him. And the guy said, well, he started to, object to Imam alayhi salam and said, well, it seems that you know nothing from the teachings of your grandfather, the Holy Prophet. See, the Islam has already taught us that if you do one bad, you will have one punishment for the bad. If you do one good act, Allah will reward you man jaa'a bil hasanati wa lahu ashru amthaliha. If you do good, Allah will reward you 10 times. Similar rewards. 10 similar rewards.
In other words, 10 times of the reward. So I stole four breads, he said. So I have four sins. Because I stole the four breads, so I have four sins. But after stealing four breads, what I did is I gave them to four poor people. So basically I had 40 good deeds. Well, every good deed has a 10-time reward. I gave breads to 4 poor people. So every bread that I gave, I got 10 rewards. 4 breads, 40 rewards. Now, of course I did the 4 sins, so let us minus the 4 from 40. So I still have 36 rewards in my bag. And that's where Imam Sadiq al-Islam recited this ayat of Holy Quran on him and said that Allah has said in the Holy Quran, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah صرف صاحبانِ تقوى سے قبول کرتا ہے. So nothing is accepted, none of our actions are accepted from if we don't have taqwa. Not just the prayers. Any and everything that we perform is conditional with taqwa. So basically when the guy stole, he became a facet. As soon as you steal, you are a facet person. You are not an adil, you don't have taqwa. None of your actions are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless you apologize. So even after stealing, when you gave to the poor people, first of all, those didn't belong to you. He didn't have the right to give it. They didn't belong to him. It's not part of the hadith that I'm explaining to you. So second of all, it was not his to give it to anybody. It belonged to somebody else. Second of all, even if he gives, it's not accepted. Because once he did the same, he's a fasiq. He's not a muttaqi any longer. When you are not muttaqi, none of your amal are accepted. So basically, that's the second condition for our prayers also, to have taqwa. And let's to see this video clip. Because we are talking about Siratul Qabool.
Seven takbirat, Allahu Akbar, slowly, 7 times. If you notice, please pay attention. That's the 7th takbir that we did, I will explain later. Thank you.
Imam Bahjat, Allah, one of our great Maraji. He's approximately 99 years old. So look at the way he's praying. Since the time of he started the prayers, he first said 7 takbirat in total, which is 6 of the takbirat are mustahab. We cannot talk about all the mustahab and all the details of the prayers, but I already said at the beginning, we are just talking about the mainstream, most important issues, but they are in Islam, it is mustahab to say 6 takbirat before the takbiratul ihram, and the takbiratul ihram is the 7th. So, and those, this is again the sunnah of Rasulullah, when he went on the arsh, when he prayed his prayers, he did the 7 takbirat in total, and whenever he was saying Allahu Akbar, with every Allahu Akbar of Rasulullah, one of the hijab was ripping apart. And then he said the second Allahu Akbar, the second hijab ripped apart and opened up. And he then said the third and fourth and fifth and seventh. By then he said 7th, all the curtains were removed. So basically he was seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these 7 takbirat are removed by, are supposed to be removed when we say the 7 takbirat in the beginning of the prayers. So when a person who has the ma'rifat enters into the prayers, right from the beginning, when he says total 7 takbirat, all the curtains are now removed. So that's how he has a right to cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there is no curtain remaining. In front of the Urafat, they don't have the curtains. So which RS belongs to what level, that Allah knows. Third and the fourth condition for acceptance of our amal. Third one is the hudurul qalb, that means our qalb has to be focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fourth one is fulfilling the huququn nas and the rights of the people. That means huququn nas are of course wajib in Islam. As long as we have messed up with one of the huquq and rights of the fellow human beings, this we are already far away from Allah. We performed a mufa'id. We performed something that took us far away from Allah. Now, the law of Islam says that any muqarrib, the muqarrib cannot combine with the mufa'id. Any factor that takes you away from Allah cannot combine with the factor that takes you up close to Allah. Unless you first apologize for the mufa'id. So messing up with the rights of the people is a mubaqid. It takes you away from Allah and His closeness. So you have to apologize for the mubaqid action that you did. Then you are entitled to do the muqarrib action that takes you close towards Allah, like the prayers. So we have to do the tawbah first and then enter into the prayers. Imam Sadiq al-Islam has said, "Man ahabba ayya'lama aqubilat salatuhu am lam tuqbal." Whosoever loves to know whether his prayers is accepted or not, فَلْيَنْظُرْ هَلْ مَنَعَتْ صَلَاتُهُ عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. He should see whether his prayers has stopped him from indecency and the wrong and haram. فَبِقَدْرِ مَا مَنَعَتْهُ قُبِلَتْ مِنْكَ. So as much as your prayers stop you from the haram, that much of your prayers is accepted and the other segment is not accepted. I'll take the questions after this.